Shiny happy path girl holding hands.
Shiny happy path girl holding hands.
Oh, this is wonderful. Look at how bright and shiny and happy
you are.
Look at that. We just fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Just fake it till you make it. We got a show, Path Girl.
Yeah.
We have a magical show, $3.99, of course.
Wow.
That is one before the magical number of 400 episodes of Perverted Podcast. And, of course, there will be shenanigans in that show and lots of stuff. But this show, let's not ignore $3.99. Just because it doesn't have the fancy number of 400 does not mean it is any less incredible. Okay, there is one thing that's going to go down in show 400 that's going to be pretty incredible that I don't have to go through, but I'll be able to witness. But this show is the one we're going to do right now.
The following show is for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. And because you are responsible for yourself, there won't be another fucking warning.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Do you feel your sex life is quite lame?
Perverted Podcast.
Scared that your desires might be strange?
Perverted Podcast.
Come and join the kinky world of play.
Perverted Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Perverted Podcast, the show where we explore the adventures of the kinky lifestyle, sex, and the human mind.
Recording on Zencastr, where sometimes the only thing that could cure a bad day is a rough beating and a warm cookie. In that order, I'm Path Girl.
I am Count Boogie, and now I'm like, aw, you deserve a warm cookie.
I want the rough beating. Well, I had the rough beating, so yay.
But doesn't the rough beating make your cookie warm anyway?
I'm talking about a physical cookie. Yeah? There's no, it's not aftercare without chocolate chip cookies, Boogie.
Oh, you mean real cookie.
Real cookies, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good too, but you're like, I want to get beaten and have my cookie warm. And I'm
that's right.
No, if I can make it all warm and ret. You're warm and ret pussy. And then Donis will then go and, take care of that for me, because we all vicarious. I just emailed your man.
Yes, he is the latest patron.
I just emailed
that was a shock to you, wasn't it?
I was like, "What is this guy?" And I'm like, and I tried to talk him out of it too. I'm like, "You don't have to. You're already part of the show." So he's
a patron of a couple other shows some that aren't. So he's like, I'll support you. I can give you $5. I'm like, you're literally going to give me $5 if you give a fuck.
Well, he gave a fuck, and God damn it, we'll take it because, you know, storage is expensive and so is all the stuff that we do. But what a fun show.
Yes.
I had a date yesterday with Kathy.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was in perfect Boogie Kathy style. It was,
oh God.
we had because obviously, you know, there ain't gonna be no fucking because it's not that kind of date. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't offer to give her a spanking before, and we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go well, but
nope.
So we had this thing, like I talked to her, you know, and for those of you in Perverted Podcast, Kathy was co-host for like 6-7
she's
years.
OG, yes.
Yeah, she's OG host. And
And
we do love her, and her and I are, of course, still close. We've been friends for like 15 years, but we're like, hey, you know, she was going through some stuff, and I'm like, hey, you know what? We just need to mix it up a bit, because, you know, Bath Girl, sometimes you just need to change your environment. You get caught. You go in those patterns, and you're like, you go to work, and you go here, and you go this, and this, and you don't change that pattern, and your mind actually starts to just disintegrate.
Yeah.
And you're like, and you get a little more depressed and a little more depressed. And I'm telling you, man, it's, you just need a environment reset, and it doesn't need to be far. Like go to a park, go out, you know, go to somewhere you haven't gone recently. And we said, let's go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good idea. It was a great idea, Path Girl. Kathy and I drive down the coast, go to the beach. She's like, I have beach chairs. And we'll put him in the car and we'll sit on the beach and we'll bring ukuleles and we'll jam. Because I have a ukulele and she has Fauna's old ukulele. And so I'm like, hey, with two fingers, we can make music, sit on the beach, reset our brains, ready to go. It's March. Everything is beautiful. You know, the weather, it's getting warmer, which I'm afraid of, but it's getting warmer and sunny and great. And I wake up yesterday morning and in the car and I hear tech, 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 tech.
Oh, no.
Tech, tech, tech. And I look up at the window and it just starts pouring raining.
Oh, no.
Out of fucking nowhere. And I just start laughing because that's just Kathy and Boogie Luck. And so I text her and I go, hey, hey, it's raining. And she's like, fuck, we suck. Totally do. So she's all, whatever, come over and let's have breakfast. And you know, her sister was taking the day off work. So we didn't change at least her environment. It was different for me because I haven't been to Kathy's in a few weeks. And so we had a lovely breakfast and we still jammed the ukulele, which was great. You know, I got her back into, you know, she had played before, but I kind of reminded, you know, things and two finger things. And we actually made up songs and had a really nice breakfast. Okay. And I brought, you know, got some bacon and eggs and it was. She was like, you don't have to bring anything. I'm all, you got bacon. And she's like, no. And I'm like, bro, you can't fucking have breakfast without bacon. And I said, wait, talk to your sister. And she saw, do I need bacon? And her sister's like, bacon!
Duh.
You just hear it in the background. And so she's like, fine, go get bacon. And so yeah, but we had a real nice time and had some good conversations. And even though we didn't get to revamp, well, maybe we'll do that next week or something like that. And we'll just do something. But it is just important to get out there and do something. What did you do a little less innocently this week?
It wasn't this week. It was about a little over a week ago. We had a party at Cack and Doc's house, a kink party. And it was I haven't played with Doc, God, in at least 3-4 months. It's been a while.
That's a long time.
It's just been bad timing of like the times I've had kink parties, my body's been not cooperating, and other times where it's like, I'm always the one that's like, well, I haven't played with them, but they haven't played with them longer, so let somebody else go first. But I messaged Doc like 2-3 days before the party. I'm like, I want to be the top of the list. I need to be at the top of the list. Do you understand? I need an appointment with the doctor. He's like, you got us. First appointment.
You got it.
You got it.
That's funny.
So he's got a big cabinet in his playroom where he's got stuff. And he starts saying to me, so, you know, usually the first question Doc always asks me is, well, what are you in the mood for tonight? And I just looked straight at him and I said, I need to cry.
Oh, it was like, one of those nights.
One of those nights. My vanilla life has been a mess. So much going on in the next 8 months, trying to get so many things done for my son and getting out of this godforsaken apartment and getting into a house with Donis, and just the stress level on a scale of 1 to 10 has been 1,000. So I said to Doc, I just need to cry and I need to shut off. So we picked out my favorite rubber serrated flogger and a slapstick, and then he got out one of his single tail whips, and then I said, okay, from my bag, let's get that big two-handed cheese board paddle and my vampire gloves.
Oh, right.
And usually when I play with Doc, he starts with the smaller stuff and ramps up, and during this scene he was going to start messing around a bit to kind of throw me off guard. So
So
he normally, when he has a play party in their living room, he's got 2 eye bolts in the ceiling, which to the unobserved would be like, oh, you must hang plants there. Yeah, we hang plants there.
The plant.
Yeah, Kathy. Exactly.
A fern. You've now been converted to a fern. Path girl is now a fern.
But yeah, so there was a bunch of our tribe members. And so I just basically, I even just stripped naked for this one because it was just basically like, I need him. The great thing about him having the eye bolts in the middle of his living room is he could walk around me and take care of not just the front. I originally was going to do one of those melt into the cross scenes, but I was like, no, I need the full effect. So,
right, yeah.
And especially playing with vampire gloves because they had the little metal tacks on the end of the gloves, it would get caught in my cute little outfit. So I was like, let me just take it off. I don't want to have any rips.
Good. So, I think that's a good call. I support that. Naked and, Path Girl, ready for torture.
Naked Path Girl, and all of my tribe members have seen me make it. I don't care. Sure. I mean, I'm a mess, but they love me anyway. So we start the scene, and he starts very lightly with the slapstick and the serrated flogger, and starts working his way up, and then he starts breaking out the cheese board, which is a very heavy-handed two-handed paddle.
Right.
And he starts slapping me with that. And it's a very hard jolt. And especially he wasn't focusing on my back. He was focusing more on my front or on my thighs and stuff because it's just it's very sensitive over there. And what he then started doing is he laid off the cheese board for a moment and went back to the vampire. He started with the vampire gloves. So he's smacking me and then doing that really sexual just thing where he's grabbing me very lightly by the chin and holding me up while he's taking the other glove and like grabbing my boobs and like grabbing my crotch. And I'm just like sitting there like, it's one of those like, you want to move, but you can't because if you move, you're going to get scraped.
Little pokey in the wrong place.
Lots of pokey.
Little vampire labia going on there.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, simultaneously fucking hot, but simultaneously, holy shit, I can't move or else there's going to be problems. So, but then the interesting thing he did, which he's never done before, is he grabbed the wooden paddle and started smacking me with the paddle with one hand and then taking the vampire glove and following behind it. So I was getting the thud and the sting at pretty much the same time.
Oh, wow.
And my body was just like, whoa. He's never done this before. And like, I'm trying to like focus on the music and keep pushing the pain out. And like, I started to lose it. And it's just like, okay, is it lose it like I need to call Red or is lose it and just let's just see where this goes. So it's just let's see where this goes. And then he backed off and went to the whip and extra stingy on extra stingy, already stingy skin.
That was the ticket.
Oh, fuck. Ow. And just again, can I calling Red or am I just going to take it? I'm like, let's just see where this goes. And then finally went around to the front and started back on my thighs with that wooden paddle. And I lost it. I just started crying, like hysterical crying.
Right.
To the point where Adonis was like concerned.
Right.
And I'm just like hysterical crying. And Doc is always the one who'll whisper to me, all right, you got 5 more hits. You got 4 more hits. And just getting more and more hysterical. I'm a blubbering mess. And finally, like, we get the last hit and I just collapse in his arms. Because he took me down for the chains and it was just, Doc has a way of physically shutting me down. Right. I love Donis to death. Donis is not at that level yet. And I don't know if he ever could be at that level because
you have a different type of relationship.
It's a different type of relationship. Yeah. And this goes back to even the beginning where I only used to do kink inside the bedroom with people I love. And through all my exploration, I was finally able with your help to get outside the room. And now I kind of rely on that kink outside of the bedroom because I know Doc loves me. I know Doc cares about me. And it's a love that he could shut me down and not hurt me.
Right.
And I just was a weeping, bawling mess and just everybody got quiet. And it was just, they just let me go.
Yeah.
Because they know as my, I'm tearing up even just thinking about it, where it's just, I needed that release and therapy only does so much. Self-care only does so much. Kink is something that it forces me to shut down. You're going to sit here and shut up and there's nothing you could do about it. So
that's powerful.
Yeah, it really was. I really needed a scene like that where it was just somebody's going to physically shut me off because, you know, it's kind of like hitting the power button when you need to restart the computer. It's like you have to hit that reset button. Yeah, it was a good 2 days after, like, before I recovered from that scene.
I think it's really important for our new Perverted Podcast listeners who may be joining us that, and we're not going to get all wooey or whatever, but just from a physiological point of view, when you are emotionally consistently triggered into fight or flight, like we don't even know, like when animals, the crocodile jumps out, it tries to bite the impala. If the impala, you know, fight or flight kicks in and it gets away and it runs up the hill, but then it sees that there's no more threat and then is able to shut that off. And then go on with its, you know, searching for whatever. I'll just go to another spot. And right. So it's much more on and off. But the curse of being human is we spin that attack consistently in our brain over and over and over and over and over. And then project what ifs and all of these things. And we do it with hundreds of different things in our life. So much so that our fight or flight response is constantly engaged. And we can't release, we can't surrender, because when you're in fight or flight, if you surrender, you're going to die. So there's parts of our body that feel that we're going to die. If we let go, if we cry, if we get emotional, if we allow ourselves to go that. And, you know, obviously kink isn't for everybody, but for the people that are into kink, and especially the people that are into bottoming and taking pain, then that is a direct path to breaking down that fight or flight, to cracking it open, because it is a surrender situation where at some point you physically have to surrender. And once you surrender, then you kind of, your body sends all of these different it's called catharsis. And it's such a powerful experience. And I've seen it before. I've created it before in bottoms that needed situations like you've had, you know, weeping Buddha scenes. There's so many wonderful stories we've talked about on the show of this. So it's not, some people may get really scared by that.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like,
I think,
oh, shit, he beat you.
Actually did. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you see it, it can be, you know, it's good to be like, hey, is this wrong? But once you understand what we do and why we're doing it, and especially in the situation between you and Doc, where there is such an understanding of those limits and where to take you. And, you know, that's not something that happened with you and him playing overnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this is built to that level. But if you can get to that level, it can be really amazing and really cleansing, because sometimes people just need to cry. You need to let it out.
When I was thinking about talking about this, I couldn't find the word, and you picked the perfect word of surrender. Cause in my mind, it's like when you see in the movies where there's like a cop that's getting beaten up, you know, give me the information, tell me what you know, blah, blah, blah. And that cop is just taking it. And it's just like, that was me, where it was just basically like, I'm taking it. And finally to the point where, okay. And then it was just that letting go. It was just, now in retrospect, I had talked to Donis on the way up there that I was going to need a hard scene, but I think I didn't warn him that
enough,
how hard
yeah.
that scene was going to go. And then it's just like, even afterwards, like the next day he checked on me, he's like, you know, I kind of got a little worried about you during the end of that scene. And I was like, no, I was like, that is exactly what I needed. Because it's just somebody forcing me to sit down and shut up and stop taking care of the rest of the world and take care of myself.
Yeah.
So it really was a powerful scene. I'm so glad I got to do it. And like I said, it took me 2 days to recover. And Doc was checking on me every step of the way. And of course, I got my aftercare. I got 2 aftercare cookies. So
it's like you got 2 cookies.
I got
a good cry.
I was a good girl.
you survive another day. Yes. Keep your head out of the crocodile's fucking mouth.
I had some amazing bruises on the front of my thighs, because normally the back of my thighs don't bruise. But it was funny because not the next day, but this happened on a Saturday. Monday morning, I'm getting up and getting ready to go to work, and I kind of took off my pajamas, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, Jesus.
My legs looked like zebras, where it was like I had a whole train tracks full of bruises, and I like took some pictures. I'm like, hey, doc.
Hey. Because you don't usually bruise real easy.
Yeah.
You're not an easy bruiser. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had those for several days, and I kept looking down going, aw.
Your trophies. It's one of those things that I understand, mm-hmm. you know, because I've heard it so many times about the bruises and the celebration of the bruises and that empowerment. And, you know, but I do understand scars. I understand scars more than bruises.
Badges of honor, baby.
Badges, little badges of honor, you know, that you have accomplished something that you, you know, and they are little reminders of something that was hopefully really good.
Yes.
When you bang your knee on a table and it bruises, mm-hmm. that's a trophy of stupidity. So it's not, it doesn't give you that same feeling.
Nope.
Is this. Well, that is, I mean, that's a fantastic story, and I'm really glad you were able to have that. That's great. That's really good. That is really good.
You might not be the asshole, baby, don't sweat it. We're gonna tweak your brain nipples, and you won't regret it. Talking about your stuff that you're asking all about on Reddit.
So, okay, we went back to the Reddits and we found a very interesting discussion that is kind of kink related and is a little scary at times. So this person put up on the Am I an Asshole platform about reporting their husband's kink to the police.
I got to stop. Because at first, before I read this, when you told me, hey, this is one I looked up, at mm-hmm. first I was laughing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and horrible, whatever. But then I read the thing and mm-hmm. had a much different reaction to it. So go ahead and read.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, this person was so afraid of putting this up, they even put it up as an alternate account, not their regular Reddit account. So basically, this woman was writing to basically say that her husband's been doing really, quote, strange and creepy things in the bedroom, and it was making her really uncomfortable. And she was kind of fearing for her life, and she was wondering if his kink was really harmful. His kink was having her pretend that she was dead and lifeless.
Right.
And it didn't start until recently, and she was kind of worried about what he was thinking and why he was into this. And then on top of that, he was getting very angry and aggressive toward her when she didn't want to do it. So she reported him to the police to get some psychological help, and they could talk with him. And he basically told her, oh, because you outed me to the police, now you're going to fucking regret it. So, and obviously now it's led to all kinds of domestic things, like she doesn't feel safe in the house anymore. She wants to leave. But it basically boils down to, is she the asshole for calling the police because he wants to do stuff with a dead body, in essence? And it was kind of like, oh, okay, there's a lot of layers here.
This is a yes. No.
And maybe.
And then yes.
Yeah.
Until I read this, when I read the details,
mm-hmm.
you know, at first when I heard this, you know, it sounds like, you know, bad communication up front.
Yeah. Fuck no.
You know,
yeah,
they didn't talk. And this wasn't, you know, and then she freaked out and mm-hmm. called the cops, and it made me laugh. I'm like, oh, fuck. That just sounds like, you like spanking, you know, and so it was humorous. But then when you read these behaviors, and all of these things are important to point out, because there is a difference between a kink, something that you fantasize, even if it's dark kink, even if it's edgy, there's a very big difference between a kink that is manageable and you can find a way with your partner to explore something and explain it to each other and all the things that we talk about ad nauseum on the show. And then there's, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is a person, this is a fucking, mm-hmm. you know, because of the aggression and you not doing this. And because I want you to pretend that you're dead and there was no buildup and this person is not kinky and you're just not this, there is, and then the passive threats, and then the veiled threats afterwards. People kill people all the time, every fucking day. There are these, you see all of these behaviors that this is, you know, you can't hide, you know, some people are like, oh, it's my kink. And it's like, hey, yeah, maybe it is. And we find out the reason and we negotiate and stuff like that. But then there's the times where you're like, no, no, bro, this is, this is scary shit.
Yeah.
This is people. And then people in the comments section were like, hey, you know, serial killers do that. They practice these role plays on their partners and then go out and kill other people, you know, or animals, things like this, you know. So these are all real things to think about. And when it's not presented in a way that's like, hey, I have this weird kink about you laying still and being dead or whatever, but I love you and we can do other things. But when it's like, no, I can't get off unless you pretend you're dead. And if you don't do it, I'm fucking going to go aggro on you. Get the fuck out.
Now, the majority of people that come here to Perverted Podcast will have some idea of consent, negotiation, ways to stop, safe words, things like that. And the majority of people who come here are basically, if they wanted to talk to their partner about doing a quote unquote strange kink, like pretending to being dead, would have a discussion, good, bad, what have you. And there are ways to quote unquote pretend playing dead besides laying there. I mean, I've even, somebody made a comment about keeping themselves in an ice bath to get physically cold and then laying in the bed so that it feels like you're with a cold body.
Right.
Great. Again, negotiated and consented to, and a way to stop the scene. But at the same time, if you're in a relationship with a vanilla person, which I have been, and you're starting to introduce kink to them, they have the right to say no. And that is that. And if they start threatening you that if you don't do this, I'm going to physically harm you. Yeah. That's when the kink goes out the window and we call the police.
Yeah. That's not kink anymore.
No, no. And telling, you know, the, oh, if you'll do this, if you love me, you know, and like, oh, it's a kink. It's not, it's nothing, you know, it's nothing mental. There's a lot of people who use kink to address their mental concerns. Sure. And there are a lot of people who use kink to get out their sexual aggression, if you will, and blame it on kink.
Mask their ill intentions.
Yes, exactly. And use, oh, but she was into it or they were into it. And No. This is where you were right to call the police and get the fuck out.
Well, let's talk about some safety issues in these things.
Yes.
And in this case, because the police can't do anything until there's a credible threat.
Yeah.
They can maybe go, they can file a report. At this point, when you start seeing all these things before you call the police, these are major red flags and you need to seek support and help and think about getting the fuck out of the house. At those things. Even if you're overreacting, fuck it.
Right.
People literally, there are hundreds and hundreds of these murders every year. So this isn't something like, well, it doesn't happen. Yeah. So better safe than sorry. What the police are going to do once they have information is maybe they can intervene.
Yeah.
But in this case, she didn't have a lot of information and, you know, text messages that talk about, you know, I'm going to harm you if you do this or, you know, things that are threatening and whatever. So the police really can't do much. And in that situation, now you are going to escalate it because they may go talk to them and be like, hey, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And you're still in the house. They're not going to arrest him.
No.
They're not going to take him away. I mean, maybe if you can get an evaluation or a psych eval, something like that, like if he talks to them and says creepy shit. But if he's a psychopath, sociopath, he's going to be able to be nice and charming and go, oh, it's just some weird stuff and she's overreacting. And then the cops will think he's charming and they'll be like, oh, you're just overreacting. It's fine. And then the door closes and now you're trapped in a house with someone.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a way to do these things, but no fucking around. I mean, funny's funny. And I will say, as the people were going through the comments, and then the person said, oh, this guy worked at a mortuary, and he used to have his, he used to put his wife in a ice bath to make her body cold. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then fuck her to pretend that she was dead, like kind of like you talked about. And I was like, hey, man, I understand that, you know, that may seem creepy, but it also is giving me a boner.
Boogie. Jesus Christ. Fucking, I worked with dead things for 30 years. I have never thought of fucking them. Oh, God.
Hey, I would time out here, bro. It is. That's fine. Don't kink shame, bro.
Okay. All right.
Because it is
not my kink. Your kink's not my kink. Okay.
But in even in laughing and having this kink be my kink, it's okay because I understand that that's a weird, dark arousal. And well,
that you're talking with your partners going, hey, this is my kink. And your bottoms are like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? And it's just that they're going along with it because, or they're participating in it because they know you like it, and they may even like it too.
Sure. You know? And it's the same thing, and it's the give and take. And I've done lots of role plays with partners that corrupted me that I'm like, I never thought of this horrible fucking thing. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're into it. And so, but once again, that's negotiated. You're concerned about each other's feelings. There's like, and if somebody says, I'm not really into that, then you go, okay, that's cool. If we can't find some middle ground on this or a way to get close to it or whatever, then it's just a no. And there's always no's in a real relationship. You don't get everything you want all the time. So that's okay. But when you're in a situation where it becomes aggressive and one-sided and your feelings aren't considered and these dark things are seeming not like fun, then fuck, dude, that's major get the fuck out. I don't care. I don't care if I leave and everyone's like, oh, you're overreacting. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Still not dead.
And the 1% chance that they're wrong. Yeah, you're going to be a corpse in the morgue, and they're going to be on top of you anyway. So,
cold Ethel.
Cold, yeah. It's, you know, and it doesn't even have to be something extreme as, hey, this person likes being with somebody who's pretending they're dead. Any type of kink, if your partner is forcing you into it and you don't want to do it and they're not respecting your boundaries, that's it. Case closed. Leave.
Yeah. It's not worth it. It's not worth it when people stop considering you, because then you're just an object. And that's one thing. If you're going to do a play scene and you negotiate, you're just an object. I don't care. I'm going to use you, like, because there's people that are into that. They're on both sides.
Oh, yeah. And that's wonderful.
But when someone legitimately is not treating you like a human being and you're supposedly in a relationship with this person, why? Why do you need to be in that relationship and hope that it's going to work out? You're with somebody that doesn't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
Why do you need to be there? You don't. Just get the fuck out and, you know, deal with changes in your life and be safe. Mm-hmm. I've never had a bigger turn in a topic where I'm like, ah, ha, 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 that's so fucked up and funny. Ah, ha, ha. And then I write it and I'm like, shit.
This isn't fun anymore.
This is dark. This is dark. Well, hopefully that, and there's literally 600 comments, and other than the funny jokes, most of those comments all agreed. Who knows? This could have been a prank, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The comments are what's important on a lot of these things, because how do you respond to a situation like that when it is real? And like I said, we have hundreds of these fucking murders. They're rampant.
Yeah.
So that's what you go with.
Not even the murders. I mean, just the sexual assaults and the assaults and stuff, where it's just basically, you know, it boils down to, you know, we all know safe, sane, and consensual. everything's negotiated. And especially when you're in a relationship with a vanilla person, it could be really tricky walking that line of kink. And then, like you said before, like, oh my God, no, I can't do that. So,
and once again, why would you get in a relationship with, if you're really into kink and you like dark things, why would you start a relationship with somebody who's completely not into that? That's once again, this is a failure to communicate, Path Girl.
Right.
Learn communication skills, have those tough conversations, and for sure, keep yourself safe.
Kinky world news is sometimes cool and sometimes fucked up. Let's glory hole the planet right now with Enigma. Yeah.
We have a magic man, and his name is the mighty Enigma. And I just know, that you have some dirty, filthy shenanigans to tell us about.
I do. And I'm going to send you proof that will hopefully not shut down the recording.
You have proof?
Well,
going to try to send me a picture.
I am.
Okay. Send me a picture. I want to see this and see if it comes in. This, of course, doing this in real time probably wasn't a great idea.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Because it may not come through. Just send me whatever the picture is, and then
it's sending. It's sending.
It's so sending. Okay.
For context, I Boogie gave me a paraffin wax bath a while back, and I finally got around to using it.
Wait! Picture came up.
Yep.
Oh no! Wait! Wow! Who's that?
That is D. That is my partner.
That's your, my God, your partner's fucking got a smoking ass.
Right?
Wow. Jesus.
Right?
No wonder you're so fucking thrilled all the time. That, I know I was supposed to look at the wax, but I'm sorry. I was immediately distracted.
There's a butt there too. There's a reason we picked that picture.
Yeah, your chick's got a hot butt. This looks, wow, look at that. That looks beautiful.
Yeah.
That looks beautiful. And use the purple. And that just, and if I can go ahead.
Well, we've done candles before, but this is the first time either of us have used the paraffin like pouring and stuff.
Yes, it's much more immersive.
Yeah, it was very fun. Like basically making a shell on her body of wax and then peeling that off of her. Ugh. I won't go into super detail, but she very much enjoyed the experience of wax.
Oh, man, that's the win. That is the win.
Yeah,
it was
a fun time. I didn't tarp enough, and so some of it did splash on the other wall, and so we had to clean that up after. But but otherwise, it was still a very enjoyable time.
That looks beautiful. That was a full, for to describe for the listeners.
Yes.
She's laying on her tummy, and she has some really sexy little bikini panties on, which if you're going to do wax play, I'm sure you would agree. Don't use your favorite panties. Don't wear your favorite anythings, because you're going to get wax on it, and that's going to be difficult to get out. But these are a really cute little pair of black panties and a really, really, really... nice butt.
She specifically got she specifically picked panties that like weren't good for period panties. They were like,
yeah,
they were probably in the line to get cut off or ripped off at some point. So like,
that's great. So now you have this cascading. So you can imagine someone laying down and then just pouring purple wax from the top of the buttocks all the way down to the ankle. And just letting those drips of purple wax just paint the entirety of her thighs and legs and inner thighs on both legs. And then, of course, I see there's some on the back. I don't have a picture of that. But it just looks so pretty, because it's just it looks like a human candle has kind of melted. And it's just running down the contours of the body. It looks really, really, really nice picture.
Thank you. And yeah, we also flipped her over and did the front too, but it was less aesthetic and more just covering her in wax.
Yes.
But yeah, so it was very much fun. Definitely something we're going to do again.
I'm so happy that you got some use out of that. That is, cause yeah. it really is a lot of fun. And obviously we've talked about wax a lot, cause I used to do a ton of wax. Mm-hmm. And, did you put down a little bit of body oil first?
Yes. So,
so that's why it comes off easier. Yeah.
Yeah. There was one of the bottles that you gave me still was still good. And,
oh, good.
Yeah. And so I was able to like lotion her up a bit, and then, yeah, peeled right off. Didn't even stain her skin. Like, she was a little red after, obviously, but like,
yeah.
Other than that, I also had some aloe. Like, I brought my whole fire kit, and okay. So I just put like some aloe lotion on her after, just to make sure nothing got burned. But otherwise, it was a really good, enjoyable time for everybody.
That's fantastic. For those of, and I don't want to get into a whole waxy thing, but it, you know, but I kind of do, because I'm so excited that you had fun and you did such a wonderful job decorating her with that. And that's part of the fun of having that large amount of wax. And that's when you drip the candles, it's more the drop and the sensation and the little jumpy. Mm-hmm. But when you're ladling it on, and I'm sure you can now attest to this, it just allows them to just kind of go a little bit farther away.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, and it definitely changes the sensation how close you are. And like, we even played with that where, especially when there was more of a shell, I could go closer in and she would get the heat, but it would be more subdued and more spread out because the still hot wax was kind of muffled by the wax that was already there. And so we were able to go thicker with the wax, but also get a little bit more of the heat intensity as you like as she was warmed up to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was definitely fun playing with distance and that kind of thing.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And yes, you learned the massive tarp rule.
Yeah.
You can never have enough tarps when you do wax play. You should have at least 5 to 6 feet around your entire area, because it splatters.
It does.
And you don't notice it. And next thing you know, if it's on your curtains or, you know, you're not getting it out of that, you know,
you can
get it off a wall, but there's some dyes in the wax and that can stain. Yeah. Wax gets everywhere, man.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So yeah.
That's exciting. That's a great picture. I'm excited. I knew you were going to send me something, and I was like, oh, well, let's see if it doesn't crash my hotspot. I'm in storage, but that's quite a treat. I'm glad you had a great time with that. And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll just diverge out of that. You don't mind if I don't delete that picture right away, do you? Hang on to that. You know, well, just for reference.
Respectfully.
Yeah. I should just be able to really see, because, you know, I'm not going to be a snob, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like, oh, I'm Mr. Wax expert, but I do want to look at your work a little bit and, you know, see if there's any improvements that I could, you know, mildly suggest. You know, that would, oh, wow. Oh, you can see some side boob there. Yeah, that's nice. What? Good drip. Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Canaling. We'll call it canaling. That's when it runs down the small of the back and then off like a little canal off the thing. That's very, very good. Good job, Enigma. You are. I'm going to put this away now, because we're doing a show.
Yes,
and
we are.
We have a very, very interesting topic that I'll explain something when we get into it, because it's kind of funny because it changed my entire point of view about it. So go ahead and start.
Before we get into this, I just wanted to rant, because it was very hard finding an article, because so many fucking online article, like newspapers and magazines, have gone behind a paywall. And I hate it. It's making it harder for me to find articles that we can use on the show. So if you are listening to this and you know of some good articles that are interesting and that we should talk about on the show and are not behind a paywall, please send them to us either on Instagram, FetLife, or through our email. That would be incredibly helpful. All right, so our first article, or our only article of the day, is coming from NPR.org, and it is called a sex educator on the one question she is asked the most, am I normal? And so this article is actually an interview that you can find on the NPR.org website. So the typical tale is that sex is great at the start of any relationship, but as time flies, so does the urge for sex. Emily Nagoski, sex educator, author of the book Come As You Are, which is a really big sex educator book, suggests that the fastest way to destroy your sex life is to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Your sexuality is not a problem that needs to be solved. We are not broken people. Our mainstream perspective on sex and sexuality versus how our mind and body feels is often a contradiction. Nagoski even found some freedom in talking about what they are dealing with through the book and through making the book. For them, it was in a book, but for many, it can be just expressing how they're feeling to their partner. Communication. The connection between what your brain knows and what your body knows isn't always connected. And that being sex positive doesn't mean you have to be positive about sex all the time. It is about having autonomy over your needs and intimacy. When we feel safe and connected and have the choice for intimacy, it will happen. Maybe in ways we weren't looking for. But if we feel stressed about it, our body goes into a fight or flight response, and it's much harder to find that special place.
I agree. I agreed the first time. I read it. Mm-hmm. And then, which I agree mostly. Obviously, mostly I agree. But yeah. So I wrote my notes. I spent like a half hour. I wrote my notes. Mm-hmm. But I had copied because the ads were so much in the frickin' site that you sent me. It's eaten my hotspot with 20 videos. So I just copy and paste the text, and then I put it in a text. So unfortunately, I didn't save one and save the other. And then I wrote all my notes for a half hour and thought I saved it. And apparently I just saved the article over my notes and couldn't get them back. So I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to write my notes again.
Yeah.
And it was a little time had passed. And so I'm like, well, I got a show. So I start in to start writing my notes again. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I started looking at this article, maybe because I was grumpy because I just lost all my work. But I started looking at this article a little bit differently because I had read it again and saw. So now my point of view is, if you're happy about your sex you like, then of course you're not broken unless ... there are things that maybe are, like if your sex, I think the poster was talking, I'm sorry for rambling. I think the poster is mostly talking about a lack of sexual desire, or maybe a lower libido, or maybe that, you know, not, you know, if you're stressed out or going through things with work, or, you know, you're having all sorts of different conflicts in your life, and you're maybe not as sexual, that you're trying to be nicer to yourself and not say, I am broken. And that nobody's sexuality is broken unless ... your sex involves hurting people, then your sex is broken. There is a difference between, the mental wellness of who you are, and then there's physical disorders that you and I both know about. If you want to fuck, but you have erectile dysfunction, your sex is broken. So if you have problems with your vagina that don't allow you to have intercourse, then that is something, that's an issue that you have to deal with. So at first I was very like, oh, none of us are broken. There's nothing broken. But there are things that are legitimately wrong sexually sometimes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's things that, like you said, like we both have ED and we have to navigate sex with that. And there are people, I'm forgetting the word for it, but people who's with vaginas who, like, the vagina just doesn't expand sometimes. It just doesn't, it hurts. And then there's like, sometimes you can't come and sometimes you can't get, like, there are things that happen that our bodies just can't, either they can't do ever or they can't do at the time. And it's just kind of part of it. I know for me, I definitely struggled a bit, more than a bit sometimes, with having that kind of body issues, because I would have partners who would put a lot of shame on me because of how my body worked or didn't work.
Right.
I understand that it's not a great answer, but like a big part of this is like finding people who you can just like, who will accept you. And like D is one of the most amazing people I've ever dated, because they're like, oh, that doesn't work. Cool. What about the other billion things that we can do together?
Yeah.
That don't include putting your dick in my holes. It doesn't have to include that. Sex for people looks different throughout it. And like some days, like neither of us are really feeling like sex. So we'll just like cuddle up and watch Buffy or watch a movie or whatever.
You're watching Buffy reruns.
We are. I am introducing her to Buffy's, because she's seen Angel. She hasn't seen Buffy. It's a thing.
That is, I gotta say, it's pretty romantic, bro. That's you're definitely, you've moved up. At least it's not Friends reruns. You're at Buffy.
Oh God, no.
I think that's neither pretty of cool.
Us, neither of us are our friends. Our friends vibe.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, so like we part of it, and like, you know, we've only been dating a little over a year, so like there might come a time where it's like we have to talk about like change, like finding different ways or seeing what it goes. But like a big thing with dating D has been letting go of a lot of that worry that I'm not enough.
Yes, absolutely.
And so like part of that is like, Part of it's going to come down to do you trust your partner to communicate their needs, wants, and desires about sex? Can they trust you to express your need, wants, and desires about sex? If you're somebody with a really high libido and your partner is going through something, that means that they can't, either medication or like depression or something is just making it so that your desire is mixed match, like that needs to be communicated. And maybe there are ways that like the person with the low libido can help with the intimacy of the other without necessarily being as involved. Like we've talked about how
fully committing to the sex, you know,
right? Like you can use toys, you can maybe the person can run the toy, like run it like a remote control vibrator, and so like they're still participating in the sex, but their desire to actually be intimate is being respected. And so like there are ways to do that. It's just, it's about finding people who you can communicate properly with and to help get to that point where you can both have the sex that you want, without like necessarily hurting the other person.
Yeah. 'Cause there's nothing shittier than condemning your partner's sex because you want them to either like your sex and not their sex, or they're not giving you what you think you need. Yeah. And so like, and this is famous. I mean, this goes on both sides of the spectrum. It doesn't matter, top, bottom, male, female, it doesn't matter. There's always that, like, you need to do this for me, or they can't live up to what you're doing. And so once again, doesn't matter where you are, whether you're low libido, high libido, whatever, when you are trying to berate or judge your partner and berate what they like and are into, or their level or their libido, because it doesn't match yours, right there, you're ending your own relationship at that point, because you're just literally creating a bigger war. you're creating more stress. You're surely, especially if it's, if you have a higher libido, you know, if you want a lot of sex and your partner doesn't want a lot of sex and you're like, you never have sex with me. You think that pressure is going to get her fucking wet?
Yeah.
You really think that that is the road to having her go, oh, all right, I guess I'll just turn on this horny switch and grant you your desires, sire. Yeah. It doesn't really work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. Mm-hmm. So it's really important. And we always come back to that communication, but sometimes it can be like in that moment, like when, you know, we're talking about how do I personally deal with this? Because of course now I'm going to be 56. I thought I was 56 and I went to an appointment and they're like, no, you're 55. And I'm like, no, I'm 56. And they're all, let's do the math together. You're 55. And I'm like, wow, I'm really getting old now. But it
doesn't help. But I did that a couple of years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
I made myself a year younger. And then my sister, who's like almost exactly 4 years older than me, is like, wait a second.
She's all, nope, sorry.
That math doesn't math. Yeah, yeah.
So as an older man, you know, I have a mental competition with younger men, strong backs, mm-hmm. good cardio, giant wieners. You know, does that mean I'm broken? Well, guess what? In some ways, a little bit, because I'm old. My joints hurt. I don't have the cardio. I don't like the word broken in this article. I don't think that's really the thing is, because I think acceptance is a much better way to do this because it covers more.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's about accepting yourself where you're at and what your desire is, or your lack of desire, or the type of sex that you're interested in or not interested in. I think that self acceptance is it just works better for me than saying I'm not broken, because there are things that are wrong, that we do have problems both mentally and physically around sex. If we were abused, then there's parts of our brain and our programming that is very broken and needs to be healed and unpacked and reprogrammed into something. Because sometimes you, because of your fight or flight and all that defensiveness or trauma, that's why you don't want to have sex. So it doesn't mean that's the sex you actually want. That could just mean that's the sex you're currently programmed to want because of all this other stuff. So if you unpack all this other stuff, you may all, and I've had this with multiple partners where they had a lot of negative programming about certain things. Surely anal is like one of the number one, just an act, or having orgasms with a partner or all of these things, because there was so much negative programming around that. And then once that was dismantled and there was a freedom given and there wasn't the expectations anymore, all of a sudden, lo and behold, they discovered new levels of themselves and they were able to evolve. I think the first step is just to accept that wherever you're at, that is where you get to work with yourself, and that you shouldn't be shamed for the place that you're at. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think I however long we still have it, but on TikTok, I have started following this one creator who just his whole thing is kind of shaming women and with like their icks and what their turnoffs are. And like there's a lot of stuff that it's like a guy is gross because they're short, and you're like, okay, that's not something that somebody can fix. That's just who they are.
It's just,
And it's like, I don't like them because their nose is small. I don't like them because they have big nipples. I don't like them because, like, there's stuff that, like, outside of, like, magic and major surgery, we're not going to be able to fix. So, like, if you're shutting somebody down because of a particular body part isn't up to what your expectations are.
Did you just wind down like, on me?
That's limiting you to a grand scope of people that are fantastic and loving and caring and respectful and all the things that you're looking for. But like, also like all the horny stuff where it's like, okay, for me, it's like, yes, ED makes it really hard for me to do pee and hole anything. But I'm also real good at eating pussy. And
you got skills.
I got skills. And like, I know how to finger somebody really well. And if you're like, I can do that too, it's like, okay, but I'm doing it from an external perspective. So I've been told I do it really, like, there's just things that like I do really well and I'm very confident at that, because like I learned it's like, okay, this doesn't work. What else am I gonna do to be able to give my partner what they desire and what we desire to do together? And that was just something that I had to develop over a long time. And part of it was luck and finding a partner and partners that are respectful and like into me as a person. And so they're going to be on board for anything that I bring to the table. But that can be something that you get with a partner. You just have to be willing to have that open mind and that conversation.
And I think it's, I also want to say, if you don't like big nipples, you know, I'm not going to judge you, you know, to go on and rant about it and make videos about it. Yeah, probably a little bit, unless they're good jokes. If they're not good jokes and you're just literally hating on people, you're a douche. But I appreciate hearing what people are into and what not into. Even if it's harsh, like, because sometimes then I go, oh, I don't have to pursue any farther. And that's why we always talk about pre-negotiation. I have found many times through many conversations with partners where they're like, I only want a guy with 9 inches or more. And I'm like, let me get out my little Hello Kitty penis ruler. I am 3 whiskers short of 9 inches, and it's not going to stay hard all night without Viagra. I'm not going to continue this anymore. It may butt hurt me because I'm not this or I'm not that, but that's that acceptance is it's okay if that's what they want and that's what they like, you know. You're going to be more limited depending on who you want and what you want. And Kathy and I used to talk about this all the time, that sometimes you have these really high, I want this person to look perfectly like this, do perfectly like this, say they have this perfect, you know, ideal mate, and then they won't lower their standards any below that, which you can do. You should go ahead.
Yeah.
But you may miss out on some really cool people. Without a little bit of flexibility. And, but I appreciate when people are upfront about what they like, because then I can say, I don't do that. You know, it's the same thing, not just sexually, but even just in their taste. When people are like, I love to travel and go outdoors, I'm like, nope. Nope. I love camping. Do you know how many years I've lived in a car? I'm tired of camping. I have been camping every day for the last, I've been sleeping in a car tent for the, I have not, yes, no, not going to do those things. So I think it's important to just have those conversations as quickly as you can about things. But at the end of the day, you have to accept yourself. You have to be okay with what you are. And it's a real good indication that if somebody is shaming you for what you think and do about your sexuality or your level or frequency, then they usually have some sort of issue of their own.
Yeah.
They're the ones really with the issue. And it's sad if you can't be together with a person like that, but why would you want to be with a person like that?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be with a person that shits on who you are sexually? Why would that why would that be attractive to anybody for any reason?
I know that like if you're into that thing, sure, but that's also going to be more of a consensual, hopefully consensual, negotiated
humiliation kink or something.
It's the joke of insulting somebody's kink is not okay unless they're into that sort of thing. But yeah, I think like I know some people, it's like they have like a friend group that they can send like, hey, I felt hot in this picture. And so they're going to send that picture to that group of people and just be like, it could be a nude. It could just be like, hey, I felt good in these pants, whatever. And like they have friends who be like, fuck yeah, you're hot. You're a delicious snack, whatever phrase they want to use with each other.
Right.
I think like finding that sort of group of people, like maybe if you don't necessarily have a partner, maybe you have a pool of friends who like platonically you can like have some that sort of like friend intimacy with and get into that sort of like kind of build each other up. Because a lot of it, like I found D because I was starting to feel more confident in myself and I was starting to feel more able to like put myself out there, so to speak. But like I wasn't necessarily looking. I was just trying to get myself in a better place. And then D came along and it
look
has
how
just
that helped. Worked out. Look yeah, how it, that it worked out. Yes. You've yeah. had a pretty solid year with a pretty amazing woman, then that's pretty cool. And very good wax technique.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. She has a nice butt. I agree.
She has nice wax. She has good wax adherence features. That's what.
Yes,
it's what she has, and that's a good partner to have if you can get it. Yeah,
very much agree.
Look at this celebration, bitches.
And that is the end of show 399. We're getting there. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have questions, comments, or other fun stuff you want to send us, please reach out to us at pervertedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on TikTok or Instagram under the name Perverted Podcast. And on FetLife, there's both a group and a page. You can support us for free by hitting the like or subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to us on. It really does help other kinksters like you find us. And if you'd like to do a little bit more to support us, you can go to patreon.com/pervertedpodcast and sign up for our $5 if you give a fuck level, where you get the shows a few days early, lots of behind the scenes stuff, and our half a pee-pee episodes, and you get to be the honor of a pee-pee sugar zombie. And of course, love and smushy kisses to all of our patrons around the world. Your support means the world to us.
You know what's funny? I just had a weird thought, because you know you read that
only
perfectly.
One?
You know, you read
yes,
your whole
I know, I nailed it.
Really, you totally nailed it. And there's always like little misses and whatever. Yep, and I'm fuck, you need to get the shit beat out of you more often. I think it just reset your brain. You know, like, good cathartic beating, because there's all that chaos in your brain, and so you're always second guessing. That's a case study that we need. That's a psychological study.
You know, the
association.
Funny thing,
go ahead.
I have it written out, and like I usually get to the second paragraph, and I've already stumbled once, and I got to the third paragraph, and I'm like, I'm fucked up once. I could do this, and I'm like, don't fuck up, don't fuck up, don't fuck up.
You fucking nailed it, man. Good job.
I'm a professional.
Good. No, we're not. We're fucking.
No, we're so.
But sorry. Okay, kids. We'll see you next time if we survive, and it will be episode 400.
Whoa.
Sure. Free. I can be a llama. Llamas all have curly dicks and spit on you when you bring up your drama. I can be me and not give a damn. I can tuck my penis in between my legs and pretend I'm a woman. Morals and etiquette, fuck it, I've had them. Life's much more fun when you do something random. Chains of propriety scream for removal. I won't live my life for your bullshit approval. I see the world. I can poop up on a mountain.
I can scream the bees are in my ass and jump into a public fountain. I can be God and make my own religion. I can paint a mural of a chick fucking a donkey in my kitchen. Morals and etiquette, fuck it, I've had them. Life's much more fun when you do something random. Chains of propriety scream for removal. I won't live my life for your bullshit approval. Eat like a Viking in a restaurant, have kinky sex in public places, wear a bikini to a funeral and make odd contorted faces. Wear a shirt made out of bacon, dye your pubic hair blue. I swear your life will suck much less if you change your point of view. Broaden your scope and expand your brain. Maybe watch two chickens fuck a toaster and see if you're entertained. Sex isn't war or a battle of wits. I eat your pussy, fair is fair. Now why won't you let me come on your tits? Why?
Morals and etiquette, fuck it, I've had them. Life's much more fun when you do something random. Chains of propriety scream for removal. I won't live my life for your bullshit approval.